Let's all stand and offer a prayer before Almighty Yahweh. Father, we thank you for the Sabbath. We thank you for the friends and the family and the brethren here. Help us, Father Yahweh, to do what is right in your eyes. Father Yahweh, I pray that you may be with me this message, that you may guide my speech, that the words I speak may be from your word and not my own. Father, we thank you so much for all the wonderful blessings you've poured upon your people. There's nothing we could ever do to show that gratitude, but we thank you, Father Yahweh. We pray that you may be with those on the prayer list, special prayer for Elder Don and his health, and also all those suffering today with afflictions. Father, we know you are able to heal and do all things. Father, we again thank you and pray that the word spoken may be understood and accepted and ingrained within our hearts. And we ask all this in Yahshua's name. Hallelujah. I'd like to welcome you all here. I'd also like to welcome those who might be listening via the web or those who are listening MP3 down the road. Well, as you all know, we have been doing a series on Romans. Romans is an important book, and we've talked about it for many reasons. Number one, there's many theological debates, errors within this book, so it's important that we understand what Paul was saying. Today, there's a special passage, a very important topic that we as Yahweh's people need to understand, and that is baptism, because baptism does not stop when we are baptized or immersed into Yahshua's name. It's a commitment, and it's a commitment that we must walk and live the remainder of our days. So this is an important passage, I believe. One of the most important passages all in this book. Baptism. Baptism. What is baptism? We're going to take a look at baptism today, understand what is the meaning of baptism and the importance of this act that we find in old and new. Because we certainly know that the children of Israel were baptized, says, when they crossed the Red Sea. I'd like to begin with the beginning here, Romans 6, verse 1. Romans 6, again, this is a baptismal passage. It focuses entirely on baptism. I'm going to focus today exclusively on Romans 6. I'm not going to try to fit in Romans 7 or 8 or any other passage because I think it's important to dedicate a message on baptism because it is such an important topic. Paul begins here. Romans chapter 1, chapter 6, verse 1, he says, "What then shall we say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" Or what is Paul's response? Just in case you missed it, I have it underlined here. It says, "Certainly not. Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it?" So Paul asks here, shall we continue to sin? Why? So that grace may abound. Now, why did Paul ask this question? What was the purpose behind this? Well, there were those who were preaching during this time that our sin would promote Yahweh's grace, Yahweh's righteousness. So Paul here, he's clarifying a false belief. And that is, shall we continue to promote Yahweh's righteousness? Shall we continue to promote grace? And again, what does he say? Certainly not. Absolutely not. Yahweh forbid, some translations say, Yahweh forbid that we sin to promote grace. Again, this all goes back to the belief that through our own weakness, through our own sin, through our own infirmities, that grace abounds and that Yahweh's righteousness abounds. I can guarantee you that Yahweh does not need our sin to place himself in his exalted position. Romans chapter 3, verse 8, we find that there were those who falsely accused Paul of saying, you know, let us do evil. Let us do evil so that good may come. And Paul here, he's clarifying. He wants everyone to understand that he's not promoting the idea or the belief or the notion that we're to sin so that Yahweh's grace may abound. Or what else does Paul say here? He says, how can we who died to sin live any longer in it? Now, remember that this passage is speaking about baptism. It's speaking about immersion in Yahshua's name. Paul is asking how we who died to sin in baptism can continue in sin. Well, the answer is we can't. Once we're immersed in Yahshua's name, we must live every day to abstain from sin, to come out of sin, to come out of this world. As a reminder, what is sin? What is sin? Does anybody know the definition of sin? We find this definition, 1 John 3:4. It says there sin is the transgression or the breaking of Yahweh's law. The breaking of Yahweh's law. This is the biblical definition of sin. The breaking of Yahweh's law. I find it interesting, some of these surveys, and they ask, what is sin? You receive 100 different interpretations of what is sin. You need to only look at Yahweh's word, and He will define sin. And He defines that sin is the transgression or breaking of Yahweh's law. So what Paul is saying here is, Paul is asking, shall we continue to sin, or shall we continue to break the law so that grace may abound, or so that we can promote Yahweh's righteousness? And again, what was his response? Certainly not. Yahweh forbid. So the notion that we're free from the law is contradictory here to what Paul says. Paul says, no, we're not to pursue sin. We're not to break the law. When we're immersed into Yahshua's name, obeying Yahweh's law is even more crucial than before. Many people do not realize this, so that the vast majority believes that they're free. That they're free from the obligation to obey once they're immersed in the name of JC. They believe that they're free to disobey. They believe that they're free from any obligation at all to obey Almighty Yahweh. What was misunderstood then, and it was misunderstood then, it is also misunderstood today by the vast majority. And that is that grace should not be used to promote lawlessness or immorality. It's amazing the beliefs we find today and how Paul and others addressed these misnomers in the New Testament. For instance, Jude chapter verse 4, it's only one chapter, says, for a certain man whose condemnation was written long ago, have secretly slipped in among you. They are unrighteous men who changed the grace of our Elohim into a license for what? A license for immorality. Or what do we hear today from the pulpits? What do we see today? Or you're no longer under that old law. You're free from that old law we find in the Torah. That is nothing more than saying you can now go commit immorality because you are held to no moral standard. Because the only moral standard we have within Yahweh's word is His law. When we remove that moral standard, we have no moral standard. And that's what we find here in Jude. And that's what we certainly see by the vast pulpits today. That now they've exchanged grace for lawlessness or for immorality. And if you understand grace, grace is to bring us to Almighty Yahweh. We've all sinned. And without that grace, we would not be given the opportunity that we have today. So grace is for a purpose, and it is not to promote lawlessness or immorality, as we find here in Jude 4. Romans chapter 6, verse 3 says, or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized or immersed, and again, remember that the word baptized comes from baptizo, means to overwhelm. To overwhelm, to immerse oneself. It says, again, many of us, as we're baptized into Messiah Yahshua, were baptized into what? It says, into His, our Savior's, death. So this is where Paul begins to explain baptism, immersion. Paul says here that those of us who are baptized into the Messiah Yahshua were baptized or immersed into His death. Now, understand, and this is so important to understand, that baptism is a death. It is a death of old man. And more specifically, it represents the death of our Savior, Yahshua. Again, Paul says we're baptized into whose death? His death. Whose? Yahshua's death. When we're immersed into Yahshua's name, we die to our old man. Scripture says that we were bought with a price. What was that price? Or that price was the blood of our Savior, Yahshua. Now, consider baptism as a new beginning. Again, it is the death of our old man and the birth of a new man. Yahshua told Nicodemus and John that unless a man is born of water and of the Spirit, he could not enter into Yahweh's kingdom. Yahshua's reference to water represents baptism. I believe that the Spirit represents the resurrection, when we will be changed from mortal to immortal, when we will be changed from corruption to incorruption. But we find here that this process begins when? It begins at immersion. It begins at baptism. Baptism into Yahshua's name is an absolute for Yahweh's saints. We must be immersed into Yahshua's name. Some people preach that baptism is inconsequential, isn't important. I'm here to tell you that it is extremely important. Baptism into Yahshua's name is essential, again, for Yahweh's people. If we never put down that old man, how can we enter in to Yahweh's kingdom? So again, it's important to understand what baptism represents and how it impacts us in the future, how it impacts salvation. Once we've been buried in baptism and rise as a new man, it's impossible for us to return to that old life, to return to that old sin. Again, when we're buried with Yahshua in baptism, that old man is gone, and we have a new life and a new calling. And you know, this is a message and a calling not only for those who have yet to seek Yahshua in immersion, but those of us who've gone down into the watery graves of baptism, that we need to rethink what we've committed and understand the devotion that we need to have to our Father in heaven and to our Savior. Romans chapter 6, verse 4 says, "Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Messiah was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." So Paul says here that those of us who were buried with Yahshua through baptism into death should do what? We should walk, how? He says, in newness of life. So what is Paul saying? Or Paul's saying that those of us immersed, that we've cast off that old man, and like the Messiah, we are raised to newness, or in the Greek, it actually says renewal. It's a renewal process, a renewal of life. When we're raised from our watery graves, Scripture says that we're a new creature, Messiah. You know, we're no longer the people who we were before. We're somebody different. It's a new beginning, as I said. Those immersed into Yahshua's name are justified, Scripture says, from their sins. What does the word justified mean? It means to make one clean. It's an acquittal. It means making the innocent or the person that's committed the crimes innocent. It's an acquittal. And then we know that when we're immersed, we're also sanctified. What does sanctified mean? We're set apart. We're set apart to Yahweh's glory, to His work, to live a different way of life, not to revert back to how we lived before. We can't live as we did before baptism. We must completely devote our lives from that point on to the one we worship. You know, being lukewarm and dabbling in the truth, is, as many people do, is not enough after baptism. We must strive daily, I believe, to overcome that old man, to remove that sin. This is what it means to walk in newness, or a renewal of life. It's something new. It is something new. It's not the same old. It is not continuing in the status quo. It is something new. It's a renewal process and a new life. This is why being lukewarm will never be enough. Baptism is our opportunity to start over. It is our opportunity from that point on to start over and live for the one we worship. It's a great opportunity, and this is why it's so important, because we're cleansed from our sins. We're sanctified unto our Father in heaven and our Savior, and we're completely clean before them both. So again, what is baptism? Baptism is a death. Whose baptism do we share? We share in Yahshua's baptism. We share in His death. Once we're baptized, what must we do? Or as we find here, we must walk in newness of life. We must walk in newness, a different way You know, Paul called himself said he belongs to the sect of the way. The way is a different way from what we walked prior to our calling, prior to when we were immersed into Yahshua's name. Romans chapter 6, verse 5, Paul says, "For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection." So Paul says here that if we've been united with Yahshua in his death, we also will be united with Yahshua in his resurrection. You know, what an awesome promise we find here. To be united with our Savior in his resurrection. You see, we die in Messiah. We shall also rise with the Messiah. You see, it's the Messiah's death and resurrection that makes all this possible. It is not us. Everything is through Yahshua. Without our Savior, we would have no hope. Without our Savior, not only would we remove and not receive justification, not only would we not receive sanctification, but we would have no hope of eternal life in the future. It is through Him. For a moment, let's consider this promise. I want to consider the promise of the resurrection, because it ties into baptism. It ties into immersion. Again, it says that we share in Yahshua's resurrection. That's important. So we find here that we will be resurrected no different from our Savior, that we will share in His likeness of His resurrection. Now, how does all this happen? Well, we know that Scripture says that we will be resurrected at Yahshua's return, that as He descends to this earth to gather the elect from the four corners, Matthew 24, that He will gather and resurrect the saints of Almighty Yahweh. So it will occur at His coming. Paul in 1 Corinthians gives possibly the greatest account of the resurrection. I'd like to look at that for just a few moments. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50. Paul says there, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of Elohim, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery." A mystery. "We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." In other words, there will be some when Yahshua returns, and Paul talks about this in another passage, where we will be changed, but only after the dead are resurrected. Verse 52, it says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, "For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Notice that. We're going to be changed from what we are today. "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." Paul says here that in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we shall all be changed from corruption to incorruption, from mortal to immortal. What an awesome promise. What an awesome promise we find here. No longer will we be flesh and blood as we are today. We will be like our Savior after He was resurrected. No longer will we be mortal, but we will be immortal. No longer will we be corruptible, we will be incorruptible. At this point, we will live forever with our Savior. We will be with Him throughout the millennium. We will rule and reign with Yahshua for 1,000 years, Scripture says, Romans chapter 20. And then Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 21 then says that Yahweh Himself shall come to this earth with His city. And then we will be with our Father in heaven forever. As the Hebrew word olam illustrates, it will be time out of mind. Time will not exist when it comes to the presence that we will share with our Savior and our Father in heaven. Now, nothing in this life compares to the promise we have here. I can assure you, nothing we can achieve, nothing we have, will ever compare to the promise we find here. Nothing. There is nothing we can do. There is nothing we can achieve. There is nothing we can receive that will compare to the promise we find here. I don't care what you may receive and who you think you may are and what blessings you may enjoy on this earth. It will not compare to the blessings we find here. You know, in my last message, I spoke about faith. I want to ask you, do we have the faith here to believe in this promise? Do we have the faith to believe in the promise of the resurrection? You know, some of us, we will preach this. We will accept it. We will describe this belief to others. But do you believe it yourself? Do you believe that Yahshua will someday return to this earth? And when He does it, He will resurrect those who have been immersed in Yahshua's name and are called by the Messiah. Do we believe this? You know, Scripture says that it's impossible to please Yahweh without faith. Again, as I said in my last message, it's not almost impossible. It's not nearly impossible. It's impossible. We must believe. And you know, sometimes I think we profess with our mouths that we believe certain things, but I want you to look within and ask, do you believe this? Do you believe that Yahshua will return, and that when He does, that He will send His angels to the four corners, and He will raise those who are called by His name? I think that's something we need to ask. Romans chapter 6, verse 6, let's return back to Romans. It says, knowing this, that our old man was impelled with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should be no longer slaves of sin. Now, notice what Paul says. Number one, we find that our old man is impelled or perished with our Savior at baptism, at immersion. Again, Paul's explained that when we're immersed into Yahshua's death. At baptism, we share the death of our Savior. That's what baptism is. We are partaking, we are sharing in the death of Yahshua, the Messiah. Paul also says here that the body of sin might be done away with when after baptism. So as Paul said earlier, when we're immersed, we're to walk in newness of life. And we've already talked about that. Pursuing the world, living in sin, forsaking the Word, compromising the Word, should not be done, is not an option once we're immersed in Yahshua's name. We must remove that old man, and as Paul says here, no longer be slaves to sin. You see, this is what most people miss with baptism. They understand that sins are washed away. They understand that this is a new beginning. But they do not understand that we're to come out of sin, that we're no longer to be servants to sin. This is something many people miss. The same old is not enough. We must strive to be better. Every day we must strive to be better than who we are. Again, the status quo is not sufficient. We're called and chosen. We're called and chosen to seek Yahweh's word, not to compromise that word, not to neglect that word, not to make excuses for what we don't do right. But we're called to honor Yahweh after we're immersed into Yahshua's name. Once we're immersed, understand that there's no turning back. When we're baptized, we're committed. We're committed to the one we worship. You know, I often think of Lot's wife. She could not walk. She could not leave what she had. And we all know the result of Lot's wife. Hebrews 6 says that it's impossible to impel the Messiah once again or once more. In other words, we can't seek baptism for a second time. Once we've been immersed, that's it. No second chance. Once we've been put to death through Yahshua's death, through baptism, once we've put to death that old man, we have a responsibility from that point on to live for Almighty Yahweh. We have that obligation. And I'm going to repeat myself once more, there's no turning back. I think we need to think about, we need to contemplate these words. There's no compromise. There's no giving up. There's no saying, I quit, I can't do it anymore. Even if you've fallen off, pick yourself back up and keep on going. Because there's no quitting. There's no quitting with Yahweh's word. Romans chapter 6, verse 7. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with the Messiah, we believe that we also shall also live with him. So Paul says here that he who has died to Messiah has been freed from what? Freed from sin. You know, there's a word that describes what Paul's talking about here. It's justification. Again, when we are made clean, we are completely clean. All our sin, all the iniquity is gone. When we're baptized, we're completely free from sin. As I've heard people say, at no other time are we cleaner than after baptism. We will never be that clean again, I can assure you, as human beings. In the very moment we rise from our watery graves, we are cleansed from all past sins. All that we've ever done wrong, all that we're guilty of, all that we've broken is washed away and forgiven in that moment. Paul goes on here to say that if we've died with Messiah, we shall also live with him. We shall also live with him. Again, there's a connection. There's a connection between Yahshua's death and his resurrection. Without putting our old man to death in Messiah, we will not share in his resurrection. You see, it begins again at baptism and extends all the way out to the resurrection. Again, the two are connected. Before we can be raised with Messiah, we must first die with the Messiah. And that is what we accomplish at immersion, at baptism. We die with the Messiah. That old man is dead. And we are then able to partake and share in Yahshua's resurrection when he returns. Baptism is a death. It's also a new beginning. It's a commitment. And it's the promise of eternal life through Yahshua, the Messiah, at his return. Now tell me, can you think of a greater promise? Can you think of something greater than what we find right here? I can't. To die with the Messiah is an honor. But to be raised and resurrected with him is the greatest blessing we'll ever achieve. For those who are found worthy of the first resurrection, dying in Messiah is an absolute must. We must die in Messiah through baptism. We must partake in Yahshua's death if we will also partake in his resurrection, because the two again are connected. And you cannot disconnect his death from his resurrection. He died first, and then he was resurrected. The same applies to those in Messiah. Romans 6:9 says, knowing that Messiah, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to Yahweh. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to Yahweh and Messiah, Yahshua, our Master. So Paul says here that Yahshua died to sin once for all, but that he lives for his Father. He lives for Almighty Yahweh. So we find that after our Savior died, he devoted his life to Yahweh. He devoted his life to the one that he worships. Paul says here that we're to do the same. He says, in like manner also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin. Remind me once more, what is sin? Scripture says the breaking of Yahweh's law. Be dead to the breaking of Yahweh's law. But alive, it says, but alive in Yahweh. And I find it amazing. In Yahweh first, through, or in Yahshua the Messiah, our Master. So what's the lesson we find here? When we're immersed into Yahshua's name, there is absolutely no excuse to continue in sin. We should be dead to sin. We should be dead to transgressing Yahweh's word. We should be dead to compromising his word. We cannot compromise Yahweh's word. If Yahweh says something, we better follow through. We are the clay, he is the potter. That's the way it works. We must from that point on live for Yahweh as our Savior did. We can't live for the world or live for sin. You know, Hebrews talks about trotting underfoot the Son of Yahweh. And it says you're going to receive more punishment for doing this than breaking the law under Moses. You see, there's a higher standard now for those of Messiah. Why? Because Messiah is greater than any lamb or goat. And with that, we have a greater obligation to serve than when we worship. Again, when we commit ourselves to our Father in heaven, there is no turning back. There's no allowance for compromise. Yahweh's word isn't easy. We know that. Yahweh's word is not easy. It's bad enough we have our own carnal pulls. But you include the world in that mess, and now it's hard. It's not easy. It's difficult. But you know, we must overcome. Yahshua in Matthew 24 said that he who endures to the end, he who continues to the end would be saved. So we must continue on. I've seen many people after baptism fall back into the world, do some horrible things. I believe that this is a reason Paul goes to great lengths here to explain and encourage us and also the Roman assembly and all those who would read this letter to stay true to our commitment. You know, no matter what the commitment, Yahweh commands we follow through. This is integrity. If we commit to something, we better follow through. Or you know, there is nothing more consequential than our commitment to Yahweh and baptism. If we miss that commitment, if we compromise that commitment, there will be no excuse when we stand before the judgment seat. For those of us who are baptized, we made a commitment to our Father in heaven. And on that day, we acknowledged that we would follow Him, that we would seek Him, and do our very best to abstain from sin. Are we doing this? Understand that if we're not, if we're compromising, if we're not completely devoting our lives to Him, we're compromising. And we can't do this. We're going to fall miserably short if we compromise knowingly Yahweh's word. Romans chapter 6, verse 12. Paul says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. But present yourselves to Yahweh as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to Yahweh. So Paul's here, he's explaining how we're to live after immersion, after baptism. Number one, Paul says, don't allow sin to dwell in your bodies. Don't allow sin to remain in your bodies. Now, how many times have we heard Paul mention sin in this passage? Quite a few times. Do you think coming out of sin was important to Paul? Do you think not following the world, not allowing your flesh to pull you away, was important to the Apostle Paul? Do you think it was important that we continue and fulfill the commitment that we made at immersion? Absolutely, it was important to Paul. Paul realized that it was absolutely crucial to come out of sin and to remain out of sin once we're immersed. He understood that. And you know, Paul probably saw the same behavior that we see from people today. They're here tomorrow and they're gone. Or they're here today, they're gone tomorrow. They're excited, they're motivated, and soon after they leave. For whatever reason, pressures of the world, pressures of family, pressures of their employer, whatever it is. And I'm sure Paul saw this. People, they were baptized, they were on fire, and then a month or 6 months or a year, and they're gone. They fell back in sin. They fell back into the world. And Paul's saying, look, you can't do this. You cannot do this. You must come out of sin. There are people who believe that after baptism that they can live as they did before. Wrong. This belief goes against everything Paul spoke about here. We cannot continue as we were before baptism. Baptism requires change. We cannot continue in sin, but as Paul says here, we must present our bodies as instruments of righteousness. Now, how is this done? How is this done? How do we present our members, ourself, as instruments of righteousness? Or how is this done? We live according to Yahweh's word. We follow in Yahshua's examples. This is done by obeying the one we worship and following in the footsteps of our Savior. You know, Yahshua obeyed the law. We find that all throughout. He kept the Sabbath. He kept the feast days. He kept all the laws. And we're to follow in that example. Romans chapter 6, verse 14. It says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. What then shall we sin? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? Or in case you missed it the second time, I underlined, certainly not. Certainly not, Paul says. What did Paul mean here when he said that we are not under law, but under grace? What Paul is saying is that we are not saved by the law. We're saved through grace. We've talked a lot about that the last few weeks. Paul's referring to the grace that justifies us from our sins. Again, we're all sinners. We've all fallen short. We cannot receive salvation based on what we do. So we must depend upon Yahweh's grace for forgiveness and justification and sanctification unto Him. This is why we're saved, not by the law, not by what we do, but by Yahweh's grace. This is what Paul is saying. Now, what was his response? Paul said, certainly not. Once more, certainly not. Yahweh forbid. Grace does not remove our obligation or our responsibility to obey. We saw that in Jude, that there were some who would turn Yahweh's grace into lawlessness or immorality, and they were condemned. And yet that is precisely what we see today. The vast majority of pulpits, they have removed our responsibility to obey for grace. And in so doing, they have promoted and propagated immorality and lawlessness. Understand that obeying Yahweh is no different from a parent, from a child obeying his or her parent. That child has a responsibility to obey. We too, as Yahweh's people, we have a responsibility to obey. It is a responsibility. It's something we're obligated to do. So again, does grace remove our obligation to obey? Absolutely not. Certainly not. Yahweh forbid. It does not remove our obligation to obey. You know, this message must have been important for Paul, for him to reiterate time and time and time again that we're not to make void the law. Paul wanted all who read this, his letter, to understand that he was not antinomian. Antinomian, anti-law. You know, ironically, though, most ministers today, they will turn to Paul to promote that we are no longer responsible for obeying. Even though Paul said many, many times that we do not make void the law through faith. We do not make void the law through grace. Certainly not. Yahweh forbid. He said that the law was holy, good, and righteous. He promoted the law in every epistle and every letter. And yet today, he is the point man for lawlessness and immorality. Now, I'm sure that Paul, if he was with us today, would be horrified to know how we've interpreted his writings. He'd be horrified to know how people are using his epistles, his letters, and to know that it is his work that is being used largely to promote immorality and lawlessness in the world. Romans 16:16. Paul says, know you not that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Now, this is something many people misunderstand. You'll hear those who refuse to follow Yahweh, they'll say something like, you know what, I'm my own man. I'm not going to follow anyone else. I'm my own boss. I'm my own person. What people misunderstand here is that no matter what we may or may not think, we're a servant to something. We serve something. Paul says here that either we serve righteousness, we serve Yahweh, or we serve sin. But don't be fooled, we do serve something. So, as a people, we have a choice who we will serve. Does this remind you of anything? What did Yahweh tell the Israelites in the Old Testament? He says, I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. Choose life. But he says, if not, here's the punishment. Here's the consequence. Here's the ramification for choosing death, for choosing sin. And we find the same thing here. Paul is saying, look, we will either serve sin or we will serve Almighty Yahweh. And that is the message we find here. You see, being a slave to sin is something we should strive to avoid, not to pursue. Most who are slaves to sin, I believe, are miserable. They're miserable. I know people, they're just miserable in their sin, but they're too prideful. They will refuse to acknowledge their shortcomings and their sin. And because of that, they never change. They never come out of that sin. But you know, if we could remove pride and simply seek Yahweh, we would be blessed. There are so many people who've won the lottery. They're very successful in their careers, and yet they're miserable. Why? Because they're full of sin. They're full of sin. So Paul's saying here, we can either be a servant to sin or a servant to righteousness. Romans chapter 6, verse 17. It says, but Elohim be thanked that though you were slaves to sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. So Paul here, he's speaking to believers. And he's explaining how we were once all slaves to sin. But now, through repentance, we are slaves of righteousness. So again, we're all slaves or servants to something, either to sin or to righteousness. These people who say that they're their own person, or they're their own boss, or they're going to do what they want to do because they don't answer to anyone. Or someday they're going to realize that this is false. Someday they're going to realize that they will answer to someone, and that someone will be Yahshua. Notice what else Paul says. Paul says, you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. Many people believe that doctrine is unimportant. It's not important that we understand Yahweh's word. But we find here that doctrine or instruction is a cornerstone of repentance. You need to understand what to repent from if you will repent. If you don't understand Yahweh's word, how can you repent? You can't. So you see, before we can repent, we must understand sin. We must understand sin. And again, according to Yahweh's word, sin is the transgression, the breaking of Yahweh's law. So as we've said, obeying the law is a responsibility that we all have as believers. We can't compromise this. Now, how do we become servants or slaves of righteousness? Because that is our goal, to become a slave to Yahweh's righteousness. Paul says that we do this by being free from sin. This is why it's important that we're justified through Yahshua's blood at baptism. And this is why that we continue to abstain from sin after baptism. Because that is how we become slaves of righteousness, a servant to righteousness. We avoid sin. We are cleansed at immersion, and we continue that process after immersion. Romans 6:19, it says, I am speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, you see, it all piles. It all piles one on top of the other. Lawlessness breeds lawlessness. So now present your members as slaves, again, slaves to righteousness. Why? What does Paul say? Resulting in sanctification. Resulting in sanctification. Now I want you to notice what happens when we present ourselves as slaves of righteousness. What does Paul say? That we receive what? He says we receive. It results in sanctification. Now this word sanctification comes from the Greek word hagiosmos, meaning purification, state of purity. We are clean before Almighty Yahweh. So we find that when we devote our lives to Him, that we are purified. We are made clean of our sins. This is why it's important that we present ourselves to Yahweh clean and abstain from sin. This is the only way we will ever be purified in this life, through Yahshua's blood and then the process of abstaining from that sin. It is absolutely imperative that we understand this message. To abstain from sin. This is a cornerstone of salvation. If we want to be saved, if we want to receive the resurrection at Yahshua's coming, we must understand what Paul is saying here. We must understand that we must come out of sin. We must understand that we must live according to the doctrine, to the teaching, to the instruction of Yahweh's word. And if we don't, we're going to miss this truth. Romans chapter 6, verse 20. For when we were slaves to sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. Now listen to the comparison Paul's making. Therefore, what benefit were you then deriving from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the outcome of those things is death. But now, having been freed from sin and enslaved to Elohim, notice, enslaved, and still we're enslaved as a slaver to Almighty Yahweh, you derive your benefit. Now listen, resulting in sanctification, in the outcome, what? What is the outcome here? Eternal life. Eternal life. Now we find here Paul giving somewhat of a summary of the differences between sin and between righteousness. Paul asks here first, what value, what benefit do we find in sin, living in immorality, living in iniquity? What benefit do we find? And there is no benefit. There is absolutely no benefit to sin. You know, we can all go back before we committed our lives in baptism to Yahshua, and we can think of things we did and we're now ashamed of. And we can't go back, and there's no reason to go back, because those sins were forgiven, but we were, and we are today, all ashamed, I'm sure, of things we've done in the past. And if we would have continued down that road, what does Paul say? Those things would lead to what? To death. Those things would lead to death. Where's the value in death? There is none. There is none. But for those who follow righteousness, what do we find here? Or number one, we find again that we're sanctified. We're sanctified. We're set apart. We are justified. We are made clean. And what does that lead to? Tell me, what does that lead to? It leads to eternal life. Eternal life, the resurrection, when Yahshua returns. Which option contains more value? Death or life? Sin or righteousness? Or as some people say, it's not brain surgery. Should be real simple. Yahweh's righteousness. Eternal life. As I said earlier, nothing in life compares to what we will see, what we will receive at Yahshua's return. I don't think we can even fathom. I really don't. I don't think we can even fathom today the blessings we will receive at Yahshua's return. This life is pretty pathetic when we compare the life to come, being with our Savior. For those who may have physical ailments, who are weak, or all that will be a thing of the past. No more will you be suffering from sickness or disease. You will be immortal. You will be in health. And you will be with your Savior. No amount of money, wealth, popularity, prestige will ever compare to what we'll receive in Yahweh's kingdom. I'd like to close with Romans 6:23. It says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of Yahweh is eternal life in Messiah Yahshua, our Master." Paul says here that, again, sin leads to death, but the free gift of Yahweh is eternal life. To live forever with Messiah Yahshua and our Father in heaven. I want to point out here once more what Paul says. He says eternal life is a free gift. It is a free gift. This is not something we earn. This is found through Yahweh's grace and His forgiveness. But again, as we've heard throughout this message, should we stop obeying? Absolutely not. Because we're committed. We have an obligation to obey. But we always need to remember that salvation is a gift. It is not something that we've done on our own. I want to see a person who can say that they earn salvation. I have yet to see someone. We do not and we cannot earn salvation. Salvation is a free gift of Yahweh. And it's Yahweh's gift. Notice that. And how do we receive that gift? It is through His Son. Through Yahshua, the Messiah. So from this passage, Romans 6, what do we understand? Let's just review for one quick moment. We understand that baptism is a death of our old man. It's a new beginning, a time that we're to avoid sin. We understand that when we're baptized, that we share in our Savior's death. And as a result, we will also share in what? We will share in His resurrection. We understand that baptism does not remove our obligation or responsibility to obey. And we understand that to receive sanctification, justification, and eternal life, that we must be slaves to Yahweh, to righteousness, and always forsake sin. So may we as Yahweh's people strive to always do these things. May we always strive to honor and please Yahweh in all that we do, so that someday when Yahshua does return, He's going to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. We're going to be found worthy." And we're going to meet Yahshua as He descends to this earth to set up His Father's kingdom. And we're going to be changed from flesh, from mortal to immortal, from corruption to incorruption. May Yahweh bless you.
Thank you, Deacon Randy. Now, if we'll please stand for our closing prayer. Father Yahweh, we thank You for Your plan of salvation, Your creative design and showing us the way to expunge our sins from our lives and through baptism, wash away those sins that we have done in the past. Renew within us the obligation to follow Your will and Your commandments and to stay away from sin. We ask that You give us a way to be free from sin, and that it is an obligation on our part to follow the commandments that You have given us in the Scriptures. We thank You for Your gift of salvation that we will receive at the resurrection, and that we may be honorable and worthy of the gifts that You are bringing to us, Father Yahweh. We thank You for Your wonderful gift of salvation and the opportunity to receive it. For these things we ask in the name of the Messiah, Yahshua. Hallelujah.